My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Irma Bombeck was a journalist. Her column appeared in 800 newspapers across the United States. Like many columnists, she got lots of letters from readers. Typical of the letters she received was the following, which was based on the actual letter from a mother. I quote from her book, Motherhood, the Second Oldest Profession. I am, even though the courts have given up my son, I have not. He is my son. How can I give up on him? I pray for him. I cry for him. I encourage him. And above all, I love him. And here's another example based on an actual letter written by a 12-year-old girl. I quote, I am a substitute mom. When my mom is working at the restaurant, I babysit my three little brothers and sisters. I take them to the bathrooms. I wipe their noses. I give them supper. I put them to bed. I do everything a real mom does. But instead of thanking me, my brothers and sisters hate me. Sometimes I wish I were dead. I have thought of running away, but I don't know where I'd go and what I'd do. When I grow up, I don't even want to be a real mom. It's the worst job in the whole world. My dear brothers and sisters, both these examples make the same point. Being a parent or a child in a family is not always easy. Sometimes it is downright painful. And the Gospels show us that even the Holy Family was not immune to such pain. In today's Gospel, we heard Simeon said to Mary during the presentation of the child in the temple. Simeon says, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. A sword will pierce your own soul too. Pain and sorrow pierced Mother Mary's heart throughout her life. Mary was there when her son crucified, and brave enough in her pain and sorrow. Imagine how painful she suffered, seeing her son suffering up there in the cross and died eventually. She was there silently weeping. Another example in the Gospel, Mary and Joseph suffered greatly when they discovered that Jesus was missing after they went to the Passover feast in Jerusalem when Jesus was 12 years old. Not did their pain end when they found him. Mary said to Jesus, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." Jesus answered, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" My dear brothers and sisters, that was a painful response to Mary's question. How did Mary respond to it? She did not confront Jesus. She did not press him for an explanation. She simply filed his answer away in her heart. The gospel says in Luke, Mary did not understand what he said, so she kept all these things in her heart. My dear brothers and sisters, sometimes keeping silent is the only way to handle explosive situations. Touching on this point, Irma Bombeck writes in the same book, I quote, "I suppose every child remembers some special virtue their mother has, some piece of wisdom that has saved them from disaster, or a word that made the path infinitely easier. I love my mother for all the time she said absolutely nothing." My dear brothers and sisters, it takes a lot of self-control to remain silent when our emotions are churning inside us. But it is at times like these that silence really does speak louder than words. If Mary's role in the Holy Family was not easy, neither was Joseph's. A retreat master had just made this point in a talk to fathers, and he ended by saying, "Joseph is the perfect model for all of us." And so after the talk, a father came up to the retreat master and said, "With all due respect, Father, Joseph's situation was totally different from that of us ordinary fathers. First, he was a saint. Second, his wife was sinless. Third, his son was the Son of God. I am no saint. My wife isn't sinless, and my son's not the Son of God." The retreat master responded, "What you say is true. But let me ask you something in all seriousness. Did your wife become pregnant just before your marriage, and you didn't know by whom? Or did your son ever leave home for 3 days and you didn't know where he was? Both of these things happened to Joseph." My dear brothers and sisters, the point is clear. Not even the holiest family is immune from suffering. And this brings up to an important point. Suffering is not something that is always totally bad. In fact, suffering can become a blessing if we accept it rightly. I can do something, it can do something for us that we could never do for ourselves. It can bring us closer to God. History and theology show that suffering is often the path for which many people are led to God. If it weren't for suffering, they would never find God. And so God does not always remove our suffering. But neither does God fail to give us the strength to bear it. God does not always take away the darkness that surrounds our faith. But neither does God fail to give us the courage to keep walking in the dark. And finally, God does not always heal our hurts. But neither does God fail to use these hurts to draw us to our loving Creator. Let me close with a poem about suffering. And it expresses in a beautiful way what we have been trying to say. I quote, "Every pain we must bear, for every burden, every care, there's a reason. For every grief that bows the head, for every teardrop that is shed, there's a reason. For every hurt, for every plight, for every lonely, pain-racked night, there is a reason. But if we trust God, as we should, it will turn out for our good. God knows the reason." Amen.